Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC as we continue to cover the aftermath of the Chelsea bombing, the other attempted bombing in Chelsea, the bombing in Seaside Park on Saturday. The authorities have now concluded that all of those incidents were related, and the five bombs found in a backpack at the Elizabeth train station this morning. They have identified a suspect. I will say that again. His name is Ahmad Khan Rahami, age 28. Governor Cuomo says he is of Afghan descent, and the authorities are saying he is a naturalized U.S. citizen and lives in Elizabeth. You've heard about the raid at what is believed to be his apartment in Elizabeth. Right now, I'd like to invite people to call in who were in the area of the Chelsea bombing on Saturday night or in any way personally affected by any of the local situations. If you were in Chelsea, how are you? Are you okay? Maybe some of the 29 injured people are even listening. If you want to say anything publicly and you're a Brian Lehrer Show listener and trust us to be a forum for you, you're welcome to use us that way this morning, 212-433-9692. And anyone else who is at any of these scenes, would you call in and say what you saw and heard? And how are you today, physically and emotionally? 212-433-9692. And does anyone know the man who is wanted, 28-year-old Ahmad Khan Rahami? If you do, you should call 911 before you call us. But if you did that, you can call us too, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And beyond all that, the mayor and the governor have been emphasizing how New Yorkers should go about our business and be aware and vigilant, but emphasizing that New Yorkers are New Yorkers and we are undeterred, as Governor Cuomo earlier today.
We will not allow these type of people and these type of threats to disrupt our life in New York. That's what they want to do. We're not going to let them do it. This is freedom, this is democracy, and we're not going to allow them to take that from us. So, feel safe. Everything that needs to be done is being done, and more. And we're going to enjoy New York, and we're going to go back to work tomorrow, just like we do on any Monday morning.
That was Governor Cuomo at his news conference yesterday, and New Yorkers, I think, did go back to work today. In my subway car this morning, I thought people were especially subdued, even slower than usual, to look up from their own laps or make eye contact with anyone. But it was as crowded as it usually is coming in early in rush hour this morning. What about you? How much do you want to echo what the mayor and the governor have been saying about New Yorkers? I actually want to contrast that for just a second with something the St. Cloud, Minnesota police chief said on CNN yesterday, that after the stabbing rampage there, that his city would never be the same.
You also said yesterday, tomorrow St. Cloud will not be the same anymore. What do you mean by that? How do you think St. Cloud is going to change?
Whenever something as awful as this happens, it's hard for things to be the same as they were. I will tell you this. There are a lot of decent, hardworking, and resilient people in St. Cloud. And so I can tell you what is more likely to happen than not, and that is all of the wonderful partnerships and relationships and cohesion that we share as a community will be strengthened by this. It will not deteriorate as a result of this. But certainly, things are different today here in St. Cloud than they were yesterday. I wasn't on CNN talking with you yesterday.
So that's the police chief of St. Cloud talking with Jake Tapper on CNN. And maybe that's the difference between St. Cloud, Minnesota, which has no history of this, and New York City. But I was struck by the contrast. Those two things came very close together on television yesterday afternoon. That police chief said, saying things are going to be different, and Governor Cuomo coming on and saying basically we're all going to be vigilant, but things are going to be the same. So New Yorkers, New Jerseyans, call in and react to that if you want, or call if you were around the scenes of any of these incidents or unexploded bombs, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's start with Dominique in Washington Heights. Hi, Dominique. You're on WNYC.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. So you were in Chelsea on Saturday night?
Yeah, actually, I was three blocks away from the bomb that went off, and then one block away from the one that was dismantled. And it was just a really, really loud boom, and we weren't sure what had happened, but it definitely, something had definitely happened, and it wasn't thunder, because the sky was clear.
And then what did you do?
Well, I had one friend who was very afraid. He already has a lot of anxiety as it is, and he doesn't go into New York City ever. But then I actually said that the safest place to be is right where we are. We were at a rooftop bar, and not to go out and stay a little bit longer. And I mean, of course, we were afraid, but then also I feel like, having lived in New York City for 15 years, I've been really desensitized by the surroundings.
In a good way or a bad way?
Excuse me?
Desensitized in a good way or a bad way?
Actually, coming to talk to my friend and him being so nervous about it, I feel like it's been a bad way. Because we shouldn't have to be okay with living with something like that.
Right. If desensitized means just taking it as normal and not doing everything that can be done to prevent it, well, maybe that's desensitized in a bad way. Maybe desensitized enough not to be scared away from living your life is a good thing.
Yes, I think in this way it was good to stick around. But even just, because I'm comparing it to Germany, and I'm from Germany originally.
Comparing it to Germany how?
I'm from Germany originally.
Uh-huh.
And so I kind of think that there are a lot more things that you have to worry about living in New York City than, for example, living in Berlin.
Dominique, thank you so much for checking in with us. And here's David in Chelsea. David, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing today?
So I have to say, maybe I'm just having someone who, you know, pretty much lived in New York their whole life. I tell people I've never lived more than 50 miles from the Empire State Building, except for when I was away at school. I have to say, we got out of the subway a little after the explosion at 23rd and 8th, and I saw people milling, but I was like, it's not the first time, like, police have shut down that area. So I've learned to be kind of calm. I think having grown up in New York, having to face the potential of violence, even if it's not something terroristic, it's just day-to-day interactions, I have a kind of wait and see, and if it's something really is immediate, then I go into, you know, action mode, to use mm-hmm. a better phrase. Now, my wife was really freaked out, especially we're following on Twitter, we're looking at the news, and when we get to her apartment on 28th Street, they say, oh, there's an unexploded bomb two blocks away. I'd also wanted to point out that we just finished vacationing in Seaside Heights. So like I told your screener, they keep trying to get me, but they are not even coming close.
I guess Seaside Park is where that bombing was. So do you feel any more threatened today walking around Chelsea having been the target here on Saturday, obviously, or a target? Any more threatened leading your life in Chelsea than you did 2 days ago?
I really don't. Maybe I'm a little fatalistic. If it's meant to happen, it's meant to happen. If not, you know, after 9/11, which I was here for, I was just like, look, you got to live your life, you know? It's also very strange to me. 23rd and 8th is busy. You're a New Yorker, Brian, but it's not swarming with people. Like, did this guy, like, say, well, I want to blow something up, but not that much? I mean, it's not Times Square. It's not Herald Square. 27th Street, where that was, the second device was, that's, I mean, there's some nice restaurants and clubs, but it's pretty deserted, so.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, David, thank you very much. Very strange indeed, and that's one of the things that authorities are trying to figure out, why these particular locations. If anything, the ones in New Jersey make a little more sense at a major train hub like the one in Elizabeth, where buses converge and people go from there into New York City. So, and the suspect who's been identified lives in Elizabeth, so that makes that make more sense, plus the fact that it's a train station. And if he had animus toward the U.S. military, well, the charity run that was taking place on Saturday in Seaside Heights was, I gather, for Marines and their families who needed financial help. So that makes some sense from an international terrorism standpoint, or a terrorism target standpoint. But why a dumpster across the street from the Housing for the Blind building in Chelsea on 23rd Street? Why that 27th Street location? That's not making any sense to anybody, and we will obviously hope to find out as authorities continue to learn more. I mean, there is a theory that if this is ISIS-related, and we don't know that it is, but if it is, if it turns out to be, ISIS has put out word to its followers to attack wherever you are, to attack normal everyday things that aren't necessarily the World Trade Center or the Pentagon or something like that, and that that's the way, with very little technology, very little skill, very little planning, they can strike fear into the hearts of Americans everywhere and Westerners everywhere and others who they consider their enemies. So, you know, but nevertheless, why 23rd Street? Why 27th Street? Joining us now is Jessica Remo, supervising reporter for Union County from NJ Advance Media. Jessica, thanks for giving us some time this morning. Hi.
Thanks. Happy to be with you. A little sleepy, but I'm here.
What's the latest you're hearing?
The latest was an 11 a.m. press conference from Mayor Boland in Elizabeth. Our reporters were out there, where he did discuss that the suspect hadn't had some interactions with police, or at least that business had. They were upset because they were staying open past 10 p.m. at night, and that was against the law. So there was at least some interaction with law enforcement.
Is there any indication that the suspect was known in the Elizabeth community as somebody connected with any kind of radical groups?
Not that I'm hearing. And from the folks we talked to who frequented that chicken restaurant where he worked, it was sort of like a hiding in plain sight thing, is what they had described to me, that he seemed to be a friendly person. One person said that he'd frequently given him free chicken when he was in there, that he loved cars, that they really would never have suspected anything like this from him.
And how's the scene in Elizabeth now, as far as you know?
As far as I know, I believe the area is still cordoned off quite a bit. We have a lot of press out near the chicken restaurant where he worked, and Mayor Boland just did hold a press conference about 11 a.m. there.
Is there any indication that they're zeroing in on the suspect? I heard a report that I'm not going to give the details of because it's unconfirmed, but that there was a location elsewhere where there may have been a confrontation.
I have not heard that. I have heard from some of my law enforcement sources that they are, you know, actively tracking and looking for him. So I did not hear that there's been any kind of interaction with him so far.
How are people making sense of the choice of targets?
You know, it's interesting because Elizabeth is a nexus, a lot of travel there, a lot of refineries in the area. But again, we don't see this sort of thing here. The mayor was quick to say he did not feel that Elizabeth would be a terror target and wouldn't want to say that, and felt that maybe that the suspect was passing through last night. But then to hear that the person of interest that they're looking for lives in Elizabeth is interesting. It's a very diverse community, lots of different ethnicities, lots of different people, very busy downtown area.
Jessica Remo, supervising reporter for Union County from NJ Advance Media. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Our coverage continues after this. WNYC. Some of the latest that we know, Governor Cuomo says investigators have no reason to believe that there are further threats, but the public should, quote, be on constant guard. Authorities are seeking a man for questioning in both of the Chelsea bombings as well as the one in Seaside Park on Saturday, and the five bombs found in a trash can at the Elizabeth train station, one of those detonated by accident as a police robot was trying to disarm it. Nobody was hurt very early this morning, about, I think, 1:30 or so this morning. The suspect is 28-year-old Ahmad Khan Rahami, a naturalized U.S. citizen from Afghanistan. His last known address was in Elizabeth, where the FBI is executing a search warrant at this hour. Now, they say they're seeking him for questioning, and I don't want to tar this man or anybody else with being a bomber unless we actually know. So we should say that the officials are saying only that they are seeking this man for questioning in these incidents, which the authorities are now saying are connected. President Obama is expected to make a statement about all of this in New York. He has come to New York shortly at around 11:30. And we will carry that. Let's see. Who's with us now? Do we have Murray Weiss? Oh, okay. So we also know we're going to bring on another reporter here in just a second. Governor Cuomo says he spoke to President Obama. He says the president also expressed appreciation for the work of first responders. Cuomo is at Penn Station to thank state troopers and National Guard members for their work protecting the public during these last couple of days. Let me I don't know if we're going to have time to do this. So you know what? Let me just go. We're going to have a report here in just a second. I'll take some more of you who are standing by. There are so many unanswered questions. But let's hear from someone else in Chelsea, and that's Laura. Laura, you're on WNYC. Hi.
So, I live at 21st and 7th Avenue. I'm on the street right now, and I was at the movie seeing Sully when it went off, and I was a half block away and certainly felt the jolt.
And Laura, how you feeling? You live in Chelsea?
I have lived in Chelsea my whole adult life, and I've had a nice, long adult life. And it's my neighborhood. I so trust the police anywhere in the city, and I never worried. I mean, I think I feel disrupted now because I got, you know, at least 40 texts from different people asking me if I'm okay.
And Laura, I'm going to have to jump in because it looks like President Obama is making a statement right now, so we go live to the president.
Go off in New Jersey. In Seaside Park, where it could have seriously injured our U.S. Marines and spectators who were there for a race. The bombing in the Chelsea neighborhood here in New York injured more than 24 people. We are extremely fortunate and grateful that nobody was killed. And our prayers go out to all of those who have been injured. We want to wish them a speedy recovery. I especially want to commend all the outstanding police and first responders in both New York City and New Jersey for their extraordinary professionalism and their quick response, which surely prevented even more people from being hurt and ensured that people got assistance quickly. Now, the investigation is moving rapidly, and as is my practice, I'm going to leave it to the FBI and law enforcement to provide details. I think everybody is aware at this point that there is a person of interest who is the focus of the investigation, and the FBI can give you further details in terms of how that is proceeding. I told Governors Cuomo and Christie and Mayor de Blasio that they and their teams will continue to have all federal support as they move ahead with their investigations in tracking down every lead and working to keep the people of this city and of this region safe. Law enforcement is asking for the help of the community. And so to everybody in this region, I want to repeat what we've said before. If you see something suspicious, then you need to say something. Contact local law enforcement. In the meantime, I would ask that the press try to refrain from getting out ahead of the investigation. I am extraordinarily happy with the cooperation that's been taking place between the FBI and state and local law enforcement officials. They are moving smartly on this investigation. It does not help if false reports or incomplete information is out there. So try to, as much as possible, stick to what our investigators say, because they actually know what they're talking about.
Now, we hate to interrupt the president as he's giving a briefing, but we have breaking news about the suspect here in New York City, and Richard Hake has it. Richard, what do you know?
Well, Brian, we're learning from NBC New York as well as the New York Times saying that a suspect has been taken into custody, and they do cite Ahmad Rahami. This is the 28-year-old naturalized Afghani descent, was taken into custody by police in Linden, New Jersey. This is the next town over from Elizabeth, where we believe his apartment is, and that's where the FBI has been scouring his apartment all morning long. Again, according to the New York Times and NBC New York, police in Linden have taken Ahmad Rahami into custody.
All right. Let's bring in Murray Weiss, criminal justice editor for DNA Info, longtime police reporter in New York. Murray, are you there?
Yep.
And you're hearing that report via the New York Times and NBC News that they have taken the individual whose name they announced earlier into custody in Linden, the man who lived in Elizabeth. From what you could tell so far, does it seem that he acted alone?
I would venture to say no. It's very difficult for one person to engage in this amount of bomb making and preparation. I'd be very surprised if at the end of the day that they say he acted alone. And in fact, they stopped a car that belongs to his family late last night at the Verrazano Bridge that contained at least one relative and several people that I'm told are associated to him allegedly in this or suspected to be involved in it as well. And they probably, it's believed, they were heading toward the airport. So JFK perhaps to leave the country. So I would be very surprised if at the end of the day, one man is responsible for all of this terrorist bomb making and planting of devices.
I'll just say that we're going to stay with this breaking news. The president is continuing to thank people for their service and talk in more general terms as we are learning more details here in New York. Also with us, in addition to Murray Weiss, is Jessica Stern, counterterrorism expert at Boston University. Professor Stern, welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you.
How would you start to put this in larger context from what we know? And it is a perfectly acceptable answer to say we cannot put it in any larger context because we don't know enough.
I think we don't know enough. At the same time, there is a larger context, whether this is connected to it or not, which is that the government has good reason to be most concerned about low-level terrorist attacks by lone actors or self-radicalized cells, much more so than a 9/11 kind of attack.
Murray, what you were saying about the SUV with five people, which interestingly had kind of dropped out of the news for a while once the mayor and others identified Mr. Rahami as an individual of interest and all the focus was on him in the media for the rest of the morning. But that SUV with five people inside was stopped for questioning, we were told, in connection with the bombs on the Brooklyn side of the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. But they hadn't said more last I saw before we came on the air here. So are they saying anything more now about the people in that car?
Yeah, I'm telling you that when they stopped the car, they believed he was in it. So the people in the car, I'm told, is registered to his family. And they're described to me as a relative and at least some associates. So you draw your own conclusion here. You know, these are pinpoints in a painting here, a pointless painting. I think the facts are the facts.
Right. Well, there are two countries.
As I indicated before, that this is a lot of activity for one person to have committed by himself, but that's possible.
There is a contradiction here, though, which is if he was in the car that was stopped in Brooklyn, then how could he have been in a confrontation with police in Linden just a short time ago?
No, he wasn't in the car. He wasn't in the car they stopped in Brooklyn. He was not among the people taken into custody, obviously. So they have tracked him to this location in Linden, where they obviously have taken him into custody, perhaps after, not without some sort of fight. That's what I'm hearing.
And Jessica Stern, does the nature of the bombs, which have been described as more sophisticated, at least the ones in the train station in Elizabeth and the ones in Chelsea, as more sophisticated than what the Boston Marathon bombers used, suggest anything to you?
Certainly the recipe for using pressure cooker bombs, we know that that's been spread around for quite a while, including Inspire magazine. And we can expect terrorists to learn from each other. They always do. But I don't think anybody's ready to say exactly what that means.
How about any possible connection, Jessica, between what's been happening here in New York and New Jersey and the mall stabbing rampage in St. Cloud, Minnesota? Obviously not the same individuals, but is there any connection that you're seeing potentially in a larger sense?
Well, not yet. the obvious connection, not that the individuals were connected, but the obvious connection between all the individuals perpetrating this kind of attack is that Adnani, who was Baghdadi's deputy, killed just a few weeks ago, was encouraging precisely this kind of attack, self-initiated attacks, including, for example, with motor vehicles, as we saw in Nice. So individuals and small cells are taking it upon themselves to carry out attacks where they are, no longer trying to get to ISIS-controlled territory in Iraq and Syria. At least the flow has really reduced.
Former CIA field officer Bob Baer, who was on earlier, was wondering, certainly can't say it with any certainty, but was wondering if perhaps ISIS, through its social media network, put out some kind of call for people to carry off attacks in place this weekend, and that made what happened in Minnesota and what happened around here more than coincidence. Does that ring true to you at all, Jessica Stern, as a possible truth?
Yes, it certainly is a possible truth. I don't know that anyone's found such a message, but there has been an ongoing plea to sympathizers to carry out these kind of attacks, especially beginning a few months ago.
Right, but there's a difference between an ongoing plea and a sort of, okay.
A directive this weekend, yeah. That I don't know of. We may find out about that.
Murray, with your familiarity with the NYPD, what would you expect that they're doing right now? And have they given any indication that you've heard that there's kind of an all clear with respect to any immediate threat? Governor Cuomo said a short time ago that he has no reason to believe there's a further threat. How much further would you go with that?
Well, I think they're trying not to scare the public. The way they handled this from a public relations stand, they were trying to get people not to get terrorized and to keep them calm in New York. I would say it's a little premature to say that the threat level can be reduced until they run out all the leads on a case like this. I mean, you start with trying to identify the people who left the device, and, you know, they start with the video, and then they get some video, and they get images of the guy, and then I reported how they how some people came upon the little wheelie that had the second bomb in it, and they actually took the bomb out and took the wheelie, and they liked the wheelie, and they may have actually been responsible for disarming it by kind of manhandling it and dropping it on the street. Then from that, they get a cell phone off of the device, and that leads to the suspect's family, and that's how they identified him and the events of yesterday. But now the investigation moves to another level, A, capturing the suspects, of course, but trying to unravel the trail from their own phones, from their own computers, to other potential people, maybe connections overseas, who knows. And I think an important thing is to try to figure out where all this material was acquired and where the bombs were built. Those are going to be the closest. Those are going to be the central themes that are going to roll out next hours and perhaps days before they figure out that this is a self-contained, self-radicalized person or small cell based obviously out of northern New Jersey, and this particular threat is now over.
Jessica Stern, what would you add to that?
I think that's right. I mean, I think it's too early to rule out a ISIS-directed attack or ISIS-assisted attack. I mean, there's something in between an attack that's carried out entirely by self-radicalized individuals and one that's directed from a terrorist group abroad. It seems, you know, if you want to know my intuition, at this point it looks like a fairly inept group, and my intuition is that they were not trained, but I could be completely wrong. I mean, it's way too early to have any real sense.
And Murray, what do you think the state role is? Being a longtime police beat reporter, the state role as compared to the city role, there has been a little one-upsmanship in the dueling news conferences and appearances between the mayor and the governor. I think the governor especially going out of his way to say, I'm the governor of New York, I'm making sure the roads are open and the subways are open and everything is safe, as he's announcing the deployment of 1,000 state troopers and National Guard members. And, of course, Mayor de Blasio also saying that despite the ever-large police presence in New York City, it'll be even larger today. So who's doing what, and what's the role of the National Guard? What's the role of a state trooper in New York City right now?
Well, listen, to go to your first point here, you know, once you start having elected political figures stepping into what ostensibly is a law enforcement or a police matter. You know, they're trying to be statesmen. They're trying to, they have image issues that they are trying to project. You are quite aware that the relationship between the governor and the mayor of the city is tense, if not really poor. So there's a lot of backstory there. The governor is trying to look statesmanlike, and he's in charge and talking and getting ahead of the mayor on a lot of this. I think that the role of the National Guard, frankly, they get brought in on in extreme circumstances, and perhaps the governor is using them, you know, and maybe correctly so, to further allay fears of New Yorkers that more attacks are possible. It does make people feel good to see an increased presence, even a military one, which we really never saw here prior to 9/11. And it was quite, you know, in its own way, it was scary, but it was also calming to see them on 9/11 for people who were here at that time. What impact they can have? You know, the state role in these kind of cases is, you know, sort of on the margin. They participate in the Joint Terrorist Task Force. We do have the New York State Homeland Security Office. But, the hardcore resources clearly are at the NYPD and working in conjunction. You know, the NYPD has 35,000 officers and several thousand involved in counterterrorism and intelligence. And the FBI has hundreds and hundreds of agents who are also assigned to this, and they have the connectivity not just here throughout the state, but also across the country and internationally. So, you know, the role of the New York State lawman, you know, is a role, but in the grand scheme, it's not the central one.
Murray Weiss, stay with us. Criminal Justice Editor at DNA Info, Jessica Stern, stay with us. From Boston University, a terrorism scholar, author of books including ISIS, The State of Terror. WNYC's Richard Hake is here with the latest on the suspect being taken into custody. Richard.
That's right, Brian. The Associated Press now confirming that a U.S. law enforcement official tells the Associated Press that Ahmad Rahami is now in custody, apparently taken in custody in Linden, New Jersey, but after a shootout with police officers. It's NBC reporting that one of the officers was shot, but his bulletproof vest saved him, so he apparently has minor injuries. It's also believed, and they're reporting as well, that Ahmad Rahami was also shot, but not clear his condition right now. But again, he was taken into custody in Linden. This is right next door to Elizabeth, where apparently his apartment was being raided by the FBI earlier this morning.
Richard, thanks a lot. Jessica Stern, what do you make of the various targets here? I was saying before you came on that it kind of makes sense if somebody's going to commit an act of terrorism to do it at the train station in Elizabeth. It kind of makes sense to do it at the Seaside Park charity run to benefit members of U.S. Marine Corps families. But the two Chelsea locations make no sense at all from a sort of I have reason to hate the people who were there standpoint. Do you see any rhyme or reason for the Chelsea bombs?
You're right. I mean, the other two targets are, we can easily come up with a rationale. You know, if we think about what happened with the bombing of a gay nightclub, it turned out there was a reason for selecting that target, even though it's not as obvious a target as a train station or a place where military personnel might gather. So, again, it's early in this process. You know, another thing to bear in mind is that ISIS actually claimed credit for the attack in Minnesota. They didn't claim credit for the attacks in the tri-state area. So I just think we need to remember that for now. We don't know who is responsible.
Yeah, that's a pretty interesting fact, Murray, that ISIS, not to say that the stabber in Minnesota was directly connected to ISIS or that they directed that or anything, but they rushed to claim responsibility for that, which serves a public relations purpose for them. They haven't said anything about the New York or New Jersey incidents.
Well, then perhaps they're either taking their time, they aren't directly involved, they may be, you know, they may come out and say, you know, the guy's a martyr, or these people are martyrs, just because they may be inspired by ISIS or Islamic radical jihadi messages. The suspect here, you know, when they found that cell phone and it led to his family, they started looking at social media to see the family and photographs of them. And, of course, they saw his picture, and his picture matched the man who left the bombs. And he matched the surveillance videos found in Chelsea of the person who was planting the bombs. But his social media sites were filled with jihadi missives and, you know, talking about anti-American stuff. So, you know, the fact that, you know, ISIS and he's an Afghan national. He's from Afghanistan. So, you know, they're all inspired by the talk, by the world we're living in. So, you know, you may find ISIS say he's another martyr for them just by connectivity. Philosophical connectivity.
Jessica Stone, a last thought about that?
Yes, that certainly could happen. ISIS has been claiming seemingly self-radicalized and self-initiated attacks, such as the attack by Omar Mateen. Interestingly, so far, they haven't claimed this attack, but in a few days they might. It's too early to say.
Perhaps once they, if he survives the shootout in Jersey, which I'm sure the law enforcement people hope he does, they might be able to figure out why he chose Chelsea. You know, it could be the makeup of Chelsea in the West Village area, because you mentioned the attack on a gay club in Florida. So who knows what his motivation was for Chelsea, or, you know, Chelsea is just convenient to the tunnels and the PATH trains, and it's just convenient. And a lot of law enforcement was on the, you know, he coming from the west side of town, so he's on the west side when he comes out of Jersey. It may just be a matter of convenience, or there's a lot of law enforcement presence on the east side because of the United Nations meetings this week and the president being in town.
And you're right that the PATH train does have a 23rd Street stop, so there is that. All right, DNA Info Criminal Justice Editor Murray Weiss, thank you. Jessica Stern, terrorism scholar and research professor at the Pardee School of Global Studies at Boston University, author of many books on terrorism, including her most recent, ISIS, The State of Terror. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Brian.
And again, the latest development is... And this is now confirmed by the Associated Press, saying that U.S. law enforcement officials are saying the man sought for questioning in the New York and New Jersey explosions is in custody after a shootout in Linden. I want to play a clip of a Somali-American mother in St. Cloud, Minnesota, and invite Muslim listeners to call in for a few minutes. The attacker there, who was shot dead after stabbing 9 people in a mall, he shouted something about Allah. He's been identified as a Somali-American there, and ISIS, as we were just discussing, claims he was a soldier for their cause. ISIS has not made any such claim about the New York and New Jersey incidents, as we said. But here is a mother in the Somali-American community in St. Cloud who spoke at a news conference there yesterday. Her name is Lul Hirsi, and she said this is not Islam, that ISIS practices a different religion. And Muslim listeners, I invite you to call in and react to this and say anything else that you want to about, once again, your community being identified in conjunction with these acts or tarred by these acts or however you want to put it, and the apparent identities of the attackers involved in this area and in St. Cloud. Here is that mother in St. Cloud, Lul Hirsi, speaking yesterday afternoon.
Let's unite as one Minnesota. Let's take love instead of hate. Let's preach the good of us, not the bad. that just happens once in a while, and we don't hope for this to happen again. I said last night, not in St. Cloud. Not in St. Cloud. That's what I kept on telling my kids, not in St. Cloud. But I hope my neighbors, my co-workers, my friends, my community members, my elders, and everybody else will take this into heart. And please, let's spread love instead of hate. And I will say it again, ISIS does not represent us. It does not represent Islam. It does not represent the Somalis. It does not represent anybody of that faith. ISIS is a different faith from Islam. ISIS has their own religion and they have their own belief. So please, as Minnesotans, as St. Cloud, let's come together and let's be one.
Rul Hirsi getting a round of applause in St. Cloud yesterday. And with all the breaking news, let us give Muslim listeners the last word for the last few minutes of the show today. And you can echo or say whatever you want to in response to Rul Hirsi, that Somali-American mother, after a Somali-American man had been identified as the attacker in the St. Cloud Mall. She said, ISIS does not represent us. They do not represent Islam. They do not represent the Somalis. They do not represent anyone from the faith. They are a separate faith from Islam. ISIS has their own religion, separate from Islam, she said. Muslim Americans, Muslim listeners anywhere, the floor is yours. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 on any of this, and we'll take your calls right after this. On WNYC, and Daoud in Patterson, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling. Daoud, hello. You there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks a lot. Yeah, I just wanted to comment on Ms. Hirsi's statement regarding the difference between ISIS and the difference between people who are practicing Islam. I agree with her 100%. And unfortunately, the image in people's minds is that because someone says they're Muslim and they commit some crime, which is fine. If they commit a crime, they're a criminal. They're not a Muslim. So we shouldn't be portrayed at that. The Catholics are not portrayed as pedophiles, all of them, because you have some or small percentage of priests who are committing crimes against children.
Daoud, thank you very much. Masuma in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, Masuma.
Hi, thank you for receiving my call. I'm a mother of three from Queens, and as a woman, I could tell that America is one of the countries that gives women rights as God given us. And I know it sounds bad. Islam gives rights to the woman, but not the country. All the countries that we see around, like Pakistan, Bangladesh, that's where I'm from, we do not have 100% rights. But in USA, I can study. I could do everything. I know Islam gives me that right, but so does the United States. And as the Somalian mother said, I do agree with her 100%. These people, they hijack my religion. They hijack my identity. I do not like that. I despise that. For me, I have to live in fear for probably next 1 month because this bombing, people would look at me and see that I am tied to something else that I do not want to be tied to.
Masuma, thank you so much. Abdullah in Queens, you're on WNYC. Hello, yeah. Abdullah.
Thanks, Brian. Every time something like this terrorist act happens, ordinary Muslims like me, and we are among ourselves, we say this is not about Islam. But these are the community, the Muslim religious leaders, the imams, who have to be very forceful about this. Those are the ones who have the ears and the eyes of the community. They have the mic in their hand. They have not been forceful. They just say this is not Islam, but they have failed to explain what is Islam. I'm a religious person, in a sense, I'm not a scholar, but the knowledge that I have from Islam is there are so many things in the teachings of Muhammad and in the Quran that's very much against this. It's against killing innocent people. It's against animosity, against followers of other religion. It's even people who don't believe religion. There's so many things. It's really, you don't have to be a scholar to understand this. But our religious leaders, we have to admit it. They have failed it. They have not been consistent. They have to consistently, it's very important, every day, they have to spread this message that it's not only Islam. They have to also tell us what Islam preaches.
Right. And Abdullah, I'm going to leave it there to get some other voices on. I appreciate it. Zainab in Montgomery, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Brian. Thank you so much for having me.
Go ahead.
I've lived in New Jersey my entire life. I grew up here. And at times like these, it's so difficult for the Muslim American community because we are human. We want to mourn. We want to grieve with the rest of our fellow Americans. But unfortunately, we're immediately put on the defensive. We immediately have to come out and condemn attacks that are carried out in the name of our religion when it's actually not a part of our religion. And I think, you know, it's difficult for people from my community because they, you know, they worry about hate crimes. They worry about backlash. My mother wears a headscarf, and when she steps out the door, I'm constantly concerned for her safety. And it's just a very difficult position when we also have to worry about law enforcement and potential raids on our communities and make sure that everyone's prepared while also mourning a tragedy. And I think it's just, you know, I totally agree with the Somali woman from St. Cloud. We're stronger when we unite together with love instead of hate.
In just 15 seconds, what would you say to the previous Muslim caller, Abdullah, who was concerned that leaders of the religion haven't articulated the alternative? If ISIS is not Islam, what is? Are you concerned about that too?
I mean, I think a lot of Muslim leaders over the past 15 years have been trying to tell people what we aren't, and have also tried to tell people what we are, and it's just become exhausting because it feels like it doesn't permeate into the consciousness as much as it should. And, you know, people feel like they have to keep doing it, but I know the community is also exhausted, you know, from constantly having to explain who they are and who they aren't.
Zainab, thank you so much, and thanks to all of you who called. And again, the headline as of now, law enforcement officials telling the AP and other news organizations that the man sought for questioning in connection with the New York and New Jersey explosives has been taken into custody in Linden, New Jersey.